said, excellent.
Too many gadgets.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking at. There we go. Okay. I've lost my outline. Here it is. There we go. Okay. This morning, what we want to begin doing is unpacking what we started collecting last week. And you remember we made a list of the reasons that we hesitate to invite somebody to say, why don't you come to St. Francis with me? And we had 16 reasons that were listed. Some of them overlapped pretty well, so they were really different expressions of the same reason. And I took those. They're hanging up across the way on the wall in the office over there. And I planned out 8 topics. We can go a little further, but between now and the end of July, at least what I want to do is unpack one different reason each time. And you'll remember some of the reasons. We're afraid of what they might say. They're too busy. This, that, and the other thing. And the first one that was mentioned, no hesitation at all, it came immediately to mind, was rejection, the fear of rejection. So what I want to do is unpack that today. What does that mean? And the whole idea with all of this is that the hesitation you feel about inviting someone to come is the very item that God is working on you about. God, of course, isn't going to consult you about this or anything like that. Just there it is, it's coming up, and the reason it's coming up is He's bringing it up. And one of the things that comes up often among us is rejection. So if you think, well, maybe I should invite so-and-so, and they think, no, they might say no, they might reject my overture here. They might reject me a little more as a person. God is actually allowing you to feel that, putting you into the circumstance to feel that, and there's something that He, by His Spirit, is going to do within you about rejection. And that's what we're going to look at today. And then all of those topics that we looked at, at least 8 of them, each one of those, God does something within your heart. So the actual fruitfulness that will come from this immediately, the first fruits of this, will be you knowing Jesus better than you do now. And it comes by allowing Him to come in and know you. That's scary to me. I don't know about you, but He's safe. He's safe. But, you follow Him and you get some of the same experiences that He had. He's still safe, but it's scary. And one of the things that we will begin to see is that it's not only that we know Jesus, but that He knows us. And there are 1,000 little places in your heart and soul that you just might not want Him to look at or know. But when He does, you become more of what you were created to be. That's what He does when you get hesitation about inviting somebody to come. Doesn't mean that they're going to come. But He's working within you so that you become more like Him. One of the things too, just as by way of review, what we were looking at is, what is success? Success is when you invite somebody. Whether they say yes or no, whether they come or not, whether they say, yes, I'm going to come, and they don't show, or whatever it is, that has nothing to do with success. And God is the one who works on them in response to your invitation. And when you successfully invite someone, it ends there for you, and then God begins working more deeply in their heart in whatever way may be going on. And that's the way it is. And the verse about that, which I cannot cite by chapter and verse number, but you can Google it and look it up. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. It's always God's work to do that. and not so much ours. And we'll unpack a lot of that over these next few weeks. I immediately want to get to rejection, however. Would that be all right? Oh, good, good. All right. Not everyone says yes to that. Yeah, yeah. You caught me. I set you up. That's right. Yeah. Okay. What we're going to come away with is that we will see that we have a very solid reason and deep confidence to actually reject rejection within ourselves. That's why I'm titling this sermon, Rejecting Rejection. First of all, the one that we follow, the one that we worship, the one we've been singing to this morning already, the one we've been praying to and following all this time, was rejected. He was despised and rejected by others. Now, you probably didn't think about that this morning when you got up and said, oh, I'm going to go to St. Francis because Jesus was despised and rejected. And yet he was. It's so deeply, as we saw during Holy Week and so forth, he was rejected to the extent where he was beaten beyond recognition as a human being. Now, it seems odd to follow somebody like that. But what will happen is he will lead us through that into new life, which is where he went. The actual death, the final rejection that he faced, he broke down. It wasn't a wall, it wasn't the end, it became a door because of what he did. He will lead us through that rejection, more popularly known as the valley of the shadow of death, through that into new life. And that's who we do. That's the Christian life. That's what it is to follow him. Now, you may have had an experience of rejection that has stayed with you. And maybe you were young, a child or something, and something went on in your life. And that, even though you don't specifically remember it every day, still colors and influences deeply the way that you relate to other people. There may be a memory that's beginning to come back right now of something that happened with you that was very painful, perhaps. And it's where rejection began for you in your life. Maybe something went on in your household. Maybe, as with many people, your parents were divorced and you felt that was a rejection of you. And you may have gone along feeling, well, if I had just been a better child, then maybe they wouldn't have done this. And you begin taking that on and finding, how can I get past this rejection? How can I get rid of this pain? Or maybe it was a coach that you admired who ridiculed you in front of the team. Or a boss that you thought, this is a great job, this is my dream job, and all of a sudden, uncharacteristically, to put it mildly, the boss says something that's just demeaning to you, or some other person that you admired, or whatever it may be. There may be some incident which is critical and deep, and it becomes the lens through which you see an awful lot going on, especially when it comes time to invite somebody to do something. That pain starts coming up again. What Jesus is doing at this moment with you and me is acting within us to bring some healing and to make that very area of rejection an area of strength. The valley of Achor, as the Old Testament says, become a spring of hope. Achor, you remember, is the valley where those who rebelled against Moses got swallowed up by the earth. We'll look at that some other time. But nonetheless, you know, those kinds of things can become springs of hope. And that's what Jesus will do with us, even this morning. The question that may be coming to your mind right now is, well, how does that work? And you may have already begun to make the connection where I hesitated to invite so-and-so because, And now, in your mind, it's beginning to connect. Because I don't like rejection for this reason. When this happened to me, I didn't like it then, and I never, ever want to go back there. What happens is we get a definition of freedom, where freedom is the absence of pain, the absence of difficulty, the absence of problems, where everything is going smooth. And that's really not a definition of freedom. That's a definition of absence. Freedom is where you have the potential and the ability to reach everything you were created to be. Whether it's painful, whether it's against you, whether it's uphill, whether it's in the dark, no matter what's going on, you have the potential and the strength from the Spirit of God to get to the place you were created to be. To be who you were created to be. That's freedom. And it's moving from where you are now into that potential that Jesus wants to bring us. And often, for many of us, it is through facing rejection into that new life. So, how does God do this? Well, we read in the Gospel just a few minutes ago, all that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God will take what belongs to Jesus and declare it to you. That's what he does to bring healing, particularly about rejection. And there are some things that Jesus wants to tell you continually that you already know, but each time he wants to take it deeper and deeper and deeper. And one of them is this: you are God's. You belong to God. You are his child. Absolutely nothing or no one can separate you from God. Anything that you can think of that you would think would be awful and terrible does not separate you from God. You're an acquaintance that you have who says, no, I'm not going to come with you to St. Francis Church, and don't ever ask me again. In fact, I don't want to talk to you again. So there. That will not separate you from God. Because you already are God's possession. Now, how does that work? The Spirit of God will speak that into you in a way that you will always have it. You will possess the fact that God possesses you because of what the Spirit of God does within you. You remember a few weeks back we were looking at how God creates. He creates by speaking. When the Spirit of God speaks within you, you are mine. Then that is created within you. That will overcome rejection as you face it. Doesn't mean the rejection won't hurt. It means it won't stop you. See, often what happens is, particularly as Americans, it's always, you know, just go for it. Just do it. Especially if you buy a certain brand of sneakers. Or for those who have some British background, stiff upper lip. Just keep doing it. Face it. Don't flinch. In fact, one of the more recent business books is called Flinch. What do you do? What do you do when you're kind of hesitating? Well, don't flinch. Just do it. And that's great. That's great advice until you get to the point where you cannot heal yourself. Where that incident that happened, whatever it is, whatever caused you to feel rejection, you cannot overcome it on your own. That's where you need the Spirit of God to come into your soul, into the place where that wound is, and start saying to you, you are mine, and nothing will separate you from me. Not even death. That's how it works. God is always communicating with you by his Spirit. He's always bringing the love and the power and the mercy that's his into your soul all the time. all the time. There is a flow that's going to you. By the same Spirit, he speaks to you about the purpose for which you were born, the reason that you live, the reason you live here at this time, the job that you have, the place that you live, that the house you live in, the friends that you have. They all underline the purpose for which you were created. And God speaks that into you continually at one level or another. As that happens, you overcome rejection. You become more like Jesus, which is our goal. That's where we're heading for. See, all of that, what God is speaking to you, is all very different from rejection. And because you can think of rejection in this way, there's one definition of rejection, and that is to believe a lie about yourself. A lie would be something obviously untrue about you. And if it's untrue about you, it would be the opposite of the purpose for which you were created. Anything where you start believing the opposite of that purpose is taking you into rejection. Okay, everybody okay? All right, good. God comes along and tells you, you were made to connect with Him and with other people. And He wants to be continually connected to you. As we looked at from time to time already, the promise most often given in the Bible is this: I will never leave you or forsake you. It's the most frequent promise. Continually He's with you, continually connecting with you. And you're made to connect with other people as a result. That's one reason why rejection can be so painful. Because it goes against part of the purpose for which we were created, part of the way that we were made. When you believe that you're rejected, you will naturally feel that you cannot do anything for anyone, especially God. How's God ever going to use me? I can't even get somebody to say yes that they'll show up. I had this great plan. My family didn't even come. Whatever. It's just, you start thinking, God will not do anything with me or in me or through me. And then God will start prompting you by His Spirit. And you'll find that you can successfully take steps for the extension of the kingdom. It all comes from you responding to that voice inside that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my child. In you I am well pleased. That starts echoing in there. And the echo is the echo of the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a success for you to make an invitation. Even if the person says no. And most of the time the no is not a final no. No matter how emphatically they say no. God will use that in some way in the person's life to draw them closer. Now why is all this the case? Why can we take some hope that this is actually what is going on within us, even at this moment? It's because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, by that, I don't mean that we start borrowing from Pentecostals, which is an excellent idea anyway. But we're, you know, you just... One way of describing it is this. It's not where we get happy, clappy, and that's our strength. It's the joy of God over you. God's delight in you. God looks at you and is filled with joy. That is your strength. Whether you're happy, clappy, or not, God takes great joy in you. That's where your strength comes from. It's the presence of God pouring his ability in you to do what you were created to do. And part of what you were created to do is connect. And your first step in connecting is making, sometimes, an invitation to something. You are made to do that sort of thing. God will not reject you even if the other person doesn't accept at that moment. He frees you to overcome rejection so that you can connect with others the way that you're meant to connect. That is the ground on which we stand. Now, I do want to lead us in a moment of prayer about this, but I want to see at this point if you have any questions about this. Is there any comments you want to make? Anything you want to ask about that we've been sharing so far?
When you say that the first step is passing into the rejection, knowing that you come from a comfortable spot, that no matter what happens, whatever the response is, that God loves us and is pleased, but then they say no, then can you speak a little bit more about what goes on after that, both from your point of view and then the person that's saying no?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's an excellent question. Joan's asking, what happens? You make the invitation, you stand on the confidence of God, you go up, you say, hey, how about coming and did it to so-and-so, like St. Francis? And they say no. Well, then what happens with you and what happens with them? Well, what happens with you is this. You now have something to go back to God with. And even right there on the spot, inside yourself, saying, God, okay, well, you know, what was that? In fact, getting the discipline of having conversations on two levels, one with the person you're with and one with God at the same time, what happens is you start getting the heart of God for that person. And when they say no, you begin seeing why they say no and how it's nothing about you and how it's something that God may be exposing in their own heart, bringing to the light in some way. And no's doesn't sound like it, but by the Spirit of God, you begin seeing within them more deeply. And as you grow in the confidence of God, you will be able to see more darkness or pain or negativity or hesitation or whatever it may be in somebody else's heart and be filled with compassion for them. That's one thing, one great thing that will happen with you. What will happen to them is this. They are more than likely going to be taking some kind of step closer to Jesus, whatever it may be, however small it may be. There is a scale that they may be going up where, you know, zero is God who? There is no God. What are you talking about? Up to various levels of really being able to sense that there's a God to the point where they're ready to give their whole life to Jesus. And they're somewhere along that. And they may have taken another step closer to that. Yeah. Nobody comes to that without a fight. And that, you're seeing the fight. That's what it is. Yeah. Great question. Was there another one over here? Oh, okay.
It's not a question. I just had an observation about what you just said, because kind of what happened to me, it was a series of small steps that brought me here. It was individuals talking to me that had no impact, well, not an immediate impact at that time.
Right.
And we're just like catalysts or
yes,
little steps.
That's right. Yeah, often small steps like that, sometimes there can be, you know, giant steps. It depends on the person, what's going on, and all that. Our part is that we've done something, and God is now taking them one more step.
I think, too, with people that I've been talking to, and who have come,
yes.
I don't just approach it once. You know,
right.
In between time, talk about what we're doing here, and so far outreach, and different things like that, and try to keep interested. I can tell there's
yes, that's excellent. That's great. Yeah.
The last. Come or not, but
right, sure.
But they know more about us.
They know more about us. They're encouraged with that. That's exactly right. As you make some repeated invitations, God is still at work within them in different ways. A few weeks down the road, we're going to look at how Jesus builds the church and what that means for us in the way we make invitations. It's very easy for us to think we build the church. So watch for that and plan to be here. Somebody just said, no, I'm not coming. All right. Well, let's have a moment or two of prayer about this. Would you please stand? Come upon us, Lord Jesus. Take us to the place this morning you wish for us to be. Now, is there with you a memory of a painful rejection that the Spirit of God may be bringing to mind right now? As that takes form in your memory, ask Jesus where he is in that incident. Now, as you sense his presence or see him in the picture, however it is you're experiencing that now, what is he saying to you in the middle of that painful incident? As you sense that and hear it and begin receiving it, the second question you already know, what is he asking you to do about what he said to you? Lord Jesus, as we go along day by day, following you, following in your footsteps, we ask you to continue to bring healing and power and mercy and life to us, that we may extend that to others as you desire. For the glory of your name, amen. Amen.